hug somebody's neck and you can be seated this morning. Man, let's put our hands together and give the band a little bit of love this morning. Darren, you full of hot air, boy. I'm just saying. We all knew it. No, hey, thanks for coming, man. Welcome. Glad to be here. Christmas Eve morning. Come to celebrate and to worship. And so, you know what? We're here to celebrate Christmas. We're here to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And we're going to talk a little bit about what Christmas really is. Christmas really is just prophecy being fulfilled. The Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament is spoken words of God, the prophets of God testifying to what would come to pass, and they're foretelling what was coming. And Christmas is really just this moment where prophecy unfolds, where what God promised in the Old Testament comes to pass in the New Testament. And how many of you know what God says always comes to pass? Can I hear a good amen? God is not a man that he should lie. And if God says something is going to happen, and if God says something is going to take place, it will take place, and it will take place in his timing. Today we're here to celebrate Jesus. I want us to pray in a moment, because Christmas, man, like, it's this moment for you and I to celebrate the birth of our Savior. And if I'm honest, I've been preaching the Christmas message for 23 years. And every year it comes around, you're like, Lord, help me. Help me do something different. Help me to preach it in a way that people would grasp more than just a baby, more than just a manger, more than just frankincense, gold, and myrrh, that it would be something meaningful to you and I, that it would touch our hearts and challenge us to live differently when we leave here on Sunday. And so today I just pray that we could look at it a little bit differently. And so let's pray, and then we'll get to the Word of God. Father, speak to us today. Lord, we celebrate today. We thank you for the birth of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that today you would give us new revelation. You would give us new understanding, that we wouldn't just leave here knowing that we came to church to celebrate the baby being born in a barn, but we would understand more what it means for that baby to be born, what it meant back then, and what it means to us today, Lord, that we would leave here full of joy and leave here with a shout in our hearts to celebrate all your goodness. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, so today, we're going to talk about Jesus, which has been God's plan from the beginning of time. Jesus is not an afterthought. Jesus is not this thing where everybody messed up and God said, okay, this is my plan B. It's been God's plan from the beginning of time to redeem those that he created. He created them, and he's going to redeem us. I want us to take a few moments this morning and stop and talk and look at what happened at the beginning of time in the book of Genesis when God created everything. How many of you know God created the heavens and the earth? God created the heavens and the earth, and he separated the dry ground from the water, and he caused trees to be grown, and he caused grass to be grown, and then he created deer and horses and cattle, and then he created the fowl of the air, and the last thing that he created was his most prized possession. He formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed the breath of life into man, and Adam stood up, created in God's own image. And then Adam said to God, God, I need a partner. God, I need a helpmeet. And so God reached inside of Adam, broke a rib out, walked back over here, placed that rib in the ground, created Eve, breathed the breath of God into her life. And God said, here is Adam, and here is Eve. Here is one man and one woman. He took them and he placed them in the Garden of Eden, the prettiest garden ever. That you know how miraculous it was in the garden? Adam and Eve got along, y'all. Like, they didn't fuss. Like, they didn't fight. There was no jealousy. There was no anger. There was no bitterness. Adam and Eve got along perfectly. And they had one thing to do, bring glory to God and produce children of their own kind. They had everything they wanted to eat. It was the perfect scenario in life. God had given them everything that they want. And then God said this, but here's some rules that you have to follow. God gave them some instructions. God gave them rules to live by. Now, if we're all honest in here today, many of us don't like to live by the rules. Can I hear a good amen? But God is God, and God is the creator, and God gave Adam and Eve everything. And he said, because I've created you, because I've given you Adam, because I've given you a helpmeet, because I've given you the garden, you're going to need to follow my rules and my instructions. How many of you know he's God and he can do that? And can I say something to you today? Can I say something as we move on? Obedience to the instructions and the direction of God are huge in mine and your life. God does not want our perfection. God does not want our performance on Sunday morning. God simply wants you and I to be obedient to the word of God. I have three children. I do not expect my children to be perfect. I do not expect them to figure it all out. But the one thing I expect from my children is to be obedient to me. And if they're obedient to me and their mama, then I will bless them. I will give them. I will do great things for their life. But if they're disobedient, there will always be some punishment. God said to Adam and Eve, these are the rules. You have to be obedient. Can I just remind you once again? That's what God wants from you. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse number 22 says, obedience is better than sacrifice. So many of us think that, okay, I'm going to sacrifice by giving some money to God. Okay, I'm going to sacrifice by showing up at church on Sunday morning. Listen, sacrifice is great, but God said above all the sacrifices that you can give to me, I just want you to be an obedient son and an obedient daughter. And if you do that, God said, I'll bless you. Well, can I preach to y'all just a little bit? We have gotten so far away from obedience in our country. We've gotten so far away from obedience in the church. And I'm going to tell you something. We are missing the best of God. Stop being jealous. Stop being full of hate. Stop committing adultery. Stop being drunk on wine. Stop stealing. Stop. Be obedient to the word of God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And if you and I want to have the greatest blessings God has for us, we have to be obedient to his word. It is real good. I don't know that all of y'all like that, but it's real good. Even Satan knows the dangers of being disobedient. Because Adam and Eve, they're living in the garden. They have everything that they want. They're getting along. The lamb has laid down by the lion. It's this perfect marriage. Everything is great. And the enemy, Satan, comes. And you know what Satan comes to do? Tempt them to be disobedient to what God had asked them to do. God said, you can have it all, but don't eat from this one tree. Satan comes in. He goes, if I can just deceive them, if I can tempt them and get them to do what God, to be disobedient to God, it will bring a curse upon the whole world. Satan comes, he tempts them, he brings doubt. And you know what they do? They do the same thing that you and I do. We chose selfishness and sin over obedience to God the Father. And at that moment, at the moment that Adam and Eve chose sin, everything changed. A curse came upon all mankind. It came upon Adam. It came upon Eve. It came upon the world. And it has come upon you and me as well today because of sin. We don't like to talk about sin, but the wages of sin are death. And the wages of sin brings a curse. Let me say this quickly. God never cursed anybody. We choose the curse ourselves when we choose disobedience to him. So here Adam and Eve are. They chose this curse. It affected them. We're going to read in scripture in a minute and understand that the sin of the disobedience of Adam and Eve has passed down through the generations to you and I. Can I tell you something? People tell me all the time, don't you talk to me about my sin. My sin bothers nobody but me. My sin doesn't affect my family. My sin doesn't affect my marriage. My sin doesn't affect my children. You have bought the lie of the enemy because our sin affects everything around us. Adam and Eve chose this sin and it brought a curse. What's the curse? You go back and read it. I don't have time to read it all to you today. Go back and read in Genesis 3. There was a curse that was brought upon the woman. You know what? You know what the curse was upon the woman? That your pain in childbirth will be multiplied. So I guess in the beginning of time in Adam and Eve, man and woman come together, she get pregnant, boom, she just spit one out, didn't hurt nothing at all, get up and go do it again. But God says, because you've been disobedient, your pain in childbirth will be multiplied. And then it says, your desire will be contrary to that of your husband. before the fall. The woman understood she was the helpmeet. Before the fall, she understood that the husband was her covering. But after the sin and after the curse, she was going to have a contrary will to her husband. And God said, and your husband is going to rule over you. There was a curse upon the woman, and then there was a curse upon the man. God said that because your sin, because of your disobedience, the ground is cursed because of you. Now you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to sweat. And it says this, you came from dirt and you're going to die and go back to dirt, which signifies death. The wages of sin are? Curse was on the woman. The curse was on the man. And then also there was a curse upon Satan. This is the good part. Genesis 3:15, God says, because you have attacked my people. Because you attack those that are created in my image. Genesis 3:15, God says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring, and her offspring will bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. God said to Satan, there's a curse on your life, and at the appointed place and the appointed time, I'm going to take the offspring of a woman and he's going to rise up and he is going to stomp on your head. He is going to defeat you. Your skull is going to be crushed. There was a curse that was placed upon Satan in Genesis chapter 3. From this point on, from Genesis chapter 3 until the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, God was waiting on the appointed place and the appointed time for the promised and the prophesied Messiah, the promised and the prophesied Redeemer of the world to destroy Satan. And when was that time? When was this Savior? When did this Redeemer come? It came on the very first Christmas morning over 2,024 years ago when Jesus Christ was born in a barn. That promised Messiah came. Jesus, that's what we're here to celebrate, the birth of this Messiah. Jesus was born of a virgin. We often talk about the virgin birth. We all often talk about the miraculous conception. Mary said to the angel, how can I be pregnant because I've never been with a man? And the angel said, all things are possible with God. And Mary was a virgin, but yet she gave birth to this Savior and to this Redeemer. Why is that necessary? Why was it important that Jesus be born of a virgin? There's a couple of reasons we're going to talk about. The first reason is this, to prove his divinity. To prove that Jesus was really God. To prove that Jesus was a miracle. To prove that Jesus was a gift straight from heaven. To prove that he was not just an accident. To prove that it was not just one man, it was not just Joseph and Mary that came together, it was proof that God in heaven had something to do with this. You see the difference in today, the difference in our faith, the difference in us worshiping and believing the God of the Bible, the difference is that Jesus is a gift from God. There's some people today, and you know who they're worshiping today? They're worshiping Muhammad. Muhammad, the Muslims everywhere, Islam is worshiping and they're claiming Islam. Can I tell you, Muhammad was a man born of one man and born of one woman, and he lived his life and he died and they carried him to the grave. But I'm here to tell you today, we're not worshiping a Savior that was born of one man and born of one woman. We are worshiping a Savior that was born of a virgin. He was a gift from Almighty God, and when he died, thank God we didn't have to carry him to our grave. Thank God that he rose from the dead and he's alive forevermore. Our Savior is a divine God that lives forever. There are many Mormons this morning that are gathered up in Utah somewhere around Salt Lake City. And you know who they're worshiping? They're worshiping a man named Joseph Smith, who is the founder of their faith. Joseph Smith was born of one man, born of one woman, and he died, and he is no longer alive today. There are many people right now that are gathering this morning, and they're worshiping some pope somewhere. And that pope was born of a man, born of a woman, and that pope is going to die. We're here today to worship Jesus, who is a gift from God and who will never ever die. We got to understand that he was born of a virgin, a gift from God for you and I. Also, we have to understand this. He was born of a virgin, born out of holiness, in order to bypass the curse that was placed on all mankind, in order to bypass the curse of death, because the sin nature that has been imputed into you and I from Adam and Eve. You got to understand this. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into this world through one man, that would be Adam, and death through that sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. If you have not sinned, you are free to leave right now and take a free cap on the way out. Praise the Lord. Death from one man was passed down to all of us. We were born into this sin nature. But God in his mercy, God in his love, Romans 5:19 says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Because of Jesus and his blood and his sacrifice, you and I, who are sinners, who are born with the sin nature, because of the sacrifice of God the Father to send his son Jesus Christ to die on a cross, to shed the blood, now you and I can be forgiven and we can walk in the righteousness of God. We can be sure of eternal life. That's what we're here to celebrate, this baby. Jesus broke the curse of sin. Jesus came and broke the curse of sin. He was born of a virgin. He was born of no sin. And then he went on to live a sinless life for 33 years. He was a sinless lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. You and I got to understand this, because we don't preach the Old Testament nearly enough in our churches nowadays. We don't talk about the old covenant. We don't talk about the old law. And therefore, we will take for granted what Jesus has done for us. If we understand what happened in the Old Testament, if we understand that there is only one way that we can be forgiven, if we understand there has to be payment for our sins, if we could understand that, it would make us much more grateful for everything that Jesus has done in our life. Under the Old Testament, the people sinned, and there had to be payment for those sins. There had to be a perfect lamb slain. He had to shed his blood to pay for the sins of the people. Hebrews 9:12 explains to us that old covenant. Hebrews 9:12 says this, indeed, under the law, God's law, God's righteous law, God's sacrificial law. Under the law, everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. In the Old Testament, the people sinned. There had to be bloodshed for payment of their sin. It cost them something. I want to read to you from Exodus chapter 12, what happened in the Old Testament before Jesus. Payment for their sins. Exodus chapter 12, verse number 3. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of the month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house. That's key. Take a lamb from their father's house. Verse 5 says, the lamb must be without blemish. You must take it from your sheepfold. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lamb at twilight. Then you shall take the blood, put it on the two doorposts of your house and over the top of your doorposts. For I will pass by the land of Egypt that night, God says, and I will strike and I will kill all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. For I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague and the death will not defile you or destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. The Old Testament, y'all, once a year, because of the sins of the people, you had to go out and get a lamb. Now, I live with an animal-loving wife and daughter. I can only imagine, and we've had sheep. I can only imagine what it would be like to say, Clara, go pick out your little lamb from the fold out there. Now, don't get that three-legged, one-eyed, flop-eared thing that ain't no good, that's not worth anything. You got to go get your best lamb, the spotless lamb, the perfect lamb with no black spots, that's perfectly white. You got to go get the perfect one, and you got to bring it in the house. And for a week or so, we're going to groom it, and we're going to pet it, and it's going to sleep in the house. And at the appointed time, Clara, sorry, go get Daddy's pocket knife. And you take the lamb, and the lamb looks at you with those eyes, and you go, and the lamb starts screaming, and the blood starts flying, and you get a bucket, and you catch all the blood in the bucket. And then you have to go get a broom weed and go out to the front door and stick the broom weed in the blood, paint it on this side of your door, paint it on the top of the door, paint it on that side of the door, because God says, I'm going to execute judgment, because God says the wages of sin are death. And God said, I'm going to send the death angel to come over all of Egypt, and everybody that is not under the blood, everybody that has not sacrificed a lamb is going to die that day. But he said, when I see the blood, death is going to pass over you, and you're going to have eternal life. That's what the birth of Jesus Christ represents you and I, because Jesus was born in a manger, and he was the perfect, spotless lamb, a gift from God, born of a virgin, and he was born to live 33 years and die and shed the blood that would forgive you and I of all of our sins. He did it once and for all. Oh, it's the new covenant. The new covenant, it's the new testament. He's the gift from the Father's house, the lamb that would pay for our forgiveness. Aren't you glad to be forgiven today? When the baby was born, can you imagine? How many of you have seen a baby being born? I got three kids. I watched them all be born. Never cried one time at the birth of any of them. Something about this life and the first scream out of their mouth and their eyes open and they're kicking, just life. It just does something as Mary reached and grabbed her baby. Mary, knowing this baby would die, knowing she wouldn't have him forever, knowing she should ponder in her heart, knowing she should cherish this moment and wrap him in swaddling clothes. She didn't care that she was in a manger. It was her baby. She had carried him. He was born of a virgin. It was a gift from God. She grabbed him, and she knew that he would be the lamb that would pay for all of our sins. This is the lamb that would pay for our eternal life. This was the promise. The Messiah. This was the prophesied Redeemer. This was the Savior of the world. This is why Christmas should be so sacred to you and I, because it's when our Savior was born. This is why the enemy fought so hard to destroy Jesus before he was born. This is why the enemy fought so hard to kill Jesus as a baby. This is why, you know, we read this story and this heavenly host of angels begin to rejoice and sing praises to God and say, glorify God. The angels have been in heaven through all eternity. The angels knew that the promised Messiah was coming. The angels knew that prophecy would come to pass. And at this moment, the angels knew that's the one that will redeem us. And the angels, that's why the angels rejoice. That's why the North Star shined. That's why the shepherds worshiped. That's why the wise men traveled and gave their gifts. They rejoiced because it was the Savior of the world. It's Christmas, and it's more. Hear me, it's more than a Christmas tree. It's more than spending too much money and buying gifts for your kids. It's more than family visitation. It's more than going to church once a year. This is the foundation of what we believe as born-again believers in Christ Jesus. Because today, Luke 2:11, we celebrate this. For unto us, this day in the city of David, a Savior was born. It paid for our sins, the sins of the world. We're fixing to close, and we're going to close today. We're going to celebrate communion. We're going to celebrate the broken body and the blood of this precious little baby boy who lived a sinless life. And my prayer is, I don't know where you are, but my prayer is that today the Spirit would do something inside of your spirit. It would challenge you to view Christmas differently. Not only would it challenge you to view Christmas differently, but it would challenge you to view your life differently. It would challenge you to go, you know what? The curse is broken. Because there's a lot of you in here that you got this old poverty mentality and you got this old victim mentality and you think that you're cursed and you think nothing can go good over you in your life and you think God is mad at you and all these things. And can I tell you that if you will accept Jesus Christ and the blood covers you, that curse is broken off your life and there is freedom for you to go and to live the blessed life and live as sons and daughters of God. Curse is broken, and that Jesus was a gift for you and a gift for me. I pray that when we take communion, it would spark something in us and we'd say, thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've done for me. And the band's going to come on up. Conrad, y'all come on up. The band's going to come up. We're going to close. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to challenge you something right quick. I know I grew up in a Baptist church. And when you took communion, boy, you better not say one word during communion or your granddaddy or your mama would take you out to the back and blister your butt. But I'm going to tell you something today. We're going to take communion, and we're going to take it in a celebratory manner today. The band's fitting to go, and the band's fitting to go hard. And we're going to sing about this Lion of the tribe of Judah. We're going to sing. We're going to rejoice about joy to the world. Remember, the angels rejoiced and said, glory to God in the heavenlies. They rejoiced in the heavens. They did not open up a hymnal and sing some slow song. They rejoiced, man. This was Jesus. They were hallelujah. They were going for it. The shepherds, they went back glorifying and praising God. We're going to go and we're going to go hard and we're going to celebrate communion today.